Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. I have a question for you. Ready? Is there a one-size-fits-all when it comes to parenting? Should dads relate to their sons differently than moms do? And should moms relate to their daughters differently than dads do? Well, we have our good friends Smalley's, Dr. Greg and Aaron, join us every other week pretty much, to talk marriage and family. Today we're going to go a slightly different direction and talk about how God wired moms and fathers differently in the way that they connect with their kids. So I'm expecting a hilarious, insightful time. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Before I get my friends on the air, though, I want to just tell a big shout out. We're so grateful that our listening audience continues to grow thanks to you and your constant support and encouragement of Faith Radio. So a very special shout out and welcome to our new friends listening in on 88.3 KLMP in Rapid City, South Dakota. Excited to be part of the family and to do this journey with you. Hope you are encouraged every single day as you tune in. All right, let me tell you about my friends. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships and Wholehearted Marriage and a bunch of others. Erin Smalley is Program Director at Focus on the Family. She's an author speaker, also based in Colorado Springs, and she works alongside her husband. They do marriage intensives and seminars together. They live in Colorado Springs and have three daughters, one son. You can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg and Erin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having us.
You're
brave.
As always, yes, that she actually wants us back.
She's taking risks.
I've fasted, I've prayed, yes. I've prepared, I'm good.
You've got a team of intercessors marching the halls.
Yes, all my intercessors are on it, exactly. They're going to be quiet and they're going to shout at the last hour, so it's going to be good. So I'm so excited to talk with you about this topic. And before we jump in, you know we love to start out talking scripture. So Aaron, we'll go with you first. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days?
Yes, it is 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. And it talks about being on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And, you know, as a mom of three daughters and one son, and, you know, even doing the prep work for this program, just personally knowing, you know, being strong and standing firm in the faith and being courageous is exactly what I feel I have needed over the years with raising daughters.
I'm sure.
Because so often the tension is between a mother and a daughter. And I have spent more time on my knees asking the Lord just to help me raise godly young women, strong young women, because they're like their mother, unfortunately and fortunately. And so really just knowing that I want to love these young women well and to love them into adulthood and to see them go on and, you know, fulfill everything God has for them. So definitely, you know, to be on guard, stand firm, loving them fully.
That is totally what you do, Aaron. And having stayed at your house a good handful of times, I can just attest to you, you are a fantastic mom and a fantastic mom to those girls. And there's four girls and three boys in my family, so three sisters, three brothers. So four of us girls, three of us girls have all sons, no daughters. One of my sisters has three daughters and one son. And she says over and over again, you have no idea. You have no, and we don't because of the emotion. I can imagine the estrogen in your house.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yes. Lots of it.
Conversely, there's a lot of testosterone in my house. But anyway,
that's right.
What were you going to say?
That's right. I was going to say I wouldn't have it any other way. I adore my daughters. I adore my son. But it definitely has shocked me just the thick skin I've had to develop.
Indeed. And you, yeah, that verse is a perfect one for him. How about you, Greg? Do you have a verse you're thinking about?
Well, based on what you guys were talking about, I think it's appropriate to say Jesus wept. Thinking about our being a dad of three daughters.
That's right. Just insert your name there, Greg. Yes. Wept.
Gregory wept. You know, I love Malachi 4:6. It says that he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Mm. And what I love about that is when I was thinking about just being a dad, so thinking about our show today, you know, one of the biggest things that stands out to me is that I need to be a hero to my kids. Mm. But I think in our culture, I think we get a lot of this, dads need to be the, you know, superhuman and superman and somehow have the super ability and be this, you know, legendary figure or whatever. But when you look at the definition of a hero, what you find is it also means the principal male character in a book or some sort of dramatic work. And I love that part of it. So it's not about being having superhuman power as a dad. It's just that we need to be the lead male character.
Love
family.
That.
We need to be the leading man.
That's so good.
And therefore, to do that, our heart really does need to be in this every wholehearted. You know, we use that as a part of our titles of a lot of our books that we write. That you know, wholehearted marriage, wholehearted wife. But I do love that, and I think to be a hero, it's going to start because we are fully invested.
Yeah, and you know what we always say when the three of us talk about how we show up in marriage and parenting is we can't impart what we don't possess. So first and foremost, it starts with us in the way that we allow God to deal with our own character and refine us so that we have credibility when it comes to imparting these same things to our kids. And, you know, our kids are in their 20s now, so we had our kids in the late 80s and raised them in the 90s. And in that time, there was a real swing towards the self-esteem movement. Everybody gets a trophy.
A lot of boy bands.
Yeah, a lot of boy bands. That's really true. I'll stop there. My brain took off on a bunny trail. But anyway, but you know, I remember, you know, everybody wins, everybody gets a trophy. And I, you know, I'm fairly competitive. So that always was nauseating to
me
because I'm like, I could win if this could actually be a real race, you know. But I will tell you, just being a mom versus dad, you know, how we'd show up with these three boys. You know, I remember we had a neighbor and a boy and a girl. And another boy they had. The little girl was several years younger than our youngest son. And she was the sweetest little thing with a big bow in her hair. And you'd see her out the window, and her name was Joy. And Kev, you know, when he would try to get when he'd ask the boys to get up to help him, and then it's young adolescent boys. And this is what he did over and over again. Or if they're watching TV or playing a game, and he'd say, "Hey guys, I need your help in the garage." If they were slow to get up, he'd say, "Oh, or I can call Joy." And that's all he needed. And boom, boom, then they get up so fast. And it was like, if she had any idea how often she was the topic of conversation in our house.
She was like,
yeah, and I'd slug him in the arm behind the scenes. Co-parent, yes. And I'd say, "Oh, my goodness." You know, and he's like, "You know what? I'm not a girl. I'm a guy. And these sons are guys. They know I love them. But I'm going to talk to them like a guy would talk to them." And these boys are now 26, 28, 30, and there'll never be a day where every time they walk out of the house, they're wrapped up in a hug and they're hugging their dad back. And he's like, "I love you, son." They hear it every single time that they're together. Mm-hmm. But even just the other day, the boys, the brothers were texting and we were included on it. And one of them was asking for help. And then there was ... or I can ask Joy. And
that's
perfect. I was thinking about that just in the bantering that kind of goes on with fathers and sons. And I have a great relationship with my kids. But Greg, why don't we speak to that? Because, you know, as a guy being raised, part of it is you want to be able to be raised to be able to be a man that can handle stuff. I mean, dads can take that too far, but maybe speak to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the uniquenesses that a dad will bring to the parenting team is just that rough and tumble play.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even like Garrison, our son is 15. And I'm telling you, remember the old Clouseau movies, you know, the Pink Panther, to where he would sneak through his house because he knew Cato,
the
manservant, was somewhere going to jump out, you know, and attack him. And that's what I feel like when I walk around my home. I never know where my son is hiding and lurking. And And I even love how Aaron has picked up on this. And mm-hmm. Susie, just before we came down to the studio for the show, I walk out of my office, and literally there is a box that contained a 60-inch television in it. So it's just a box. And I just walk out, and no one's around. It's just this box in front of my door. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden Aaron crashes
no
out
way.
Of the box.
No way.
It scares me. That's what my life is like. And but I'm telling you, there's something. I think what that does, though, for boys is that, I mean, I think it's a part of our affection. Like you said, I mean, mm-hmm. they're going to get wrapped up with big hugs and they need it, but they also, these boys need that rough and tumble play. I think it promotes fun and laughter, but it just, it promotes healthy touch for boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my three mm-hmm. daughters mm-hmm. do not appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do that a little tiny bit, but that's especially vital for our boys.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the daughters, and I'm going to have you speak to this in a minute, Aaron, but they are just so emotionally formative that you have to be so careful what you say and how you say it. One more quick story before we jump into, you know, Aaron, your perspective on sons. But I remember when I was writing the book Growing Grateful Kids and talking about that when we play with our kids, it's an act of faith, because it's like my world is not so important that I can't enter into your world to play, because I trust more is on God's shoulders than mine. So I'm writing about that, and I asked Jordan, what was one of your funnest games that we would play with you? And he goes, oh, the pillow one, hands down. And I go, what do you mean? Oh, you know, when the brothers and I, they'd just be in their underwear, and they would run through the living room. Kev would take one of those couch pillows and gun it at their feet to try to take them out, and they would literally go flying. And I'm like, I know that's illegal now. I know it is. But they would go. It was such a scary game, and they loved it. But that made me nauseous. I couldn't even watch, you know. So, Aaron, I want you to speak to this just in your relation to Garrison, but watching Greg with Garrison, what's that been like for you?
You know, I love what you're saying about the couch cushion and on, because there are so many times that Garrison and Greg are playing, and I literally, I have to bite my tongue and
exactly.
just go, I know Garrison needs this from his daddy, but I can hardly stand it. I'm a nurse. I'm a mandated
line.
Reporter.
It's the line. I'm telling you, I've heard this a million times where she goes, someone's going to get hurt.
And I walk away.
Exactly.
And things, I always say, things that go on at the house when I'm not there, I don't need to know about
That's
them.
That's right.
But, you know, it was interesting as I was thinking through this, and Susie, you can speak to this, you know, even more with having had three boys, that truly, you know, there's this notion in our country that, you know, he's a mama's boy. And, you know, that, and really I found myself beginning to believe that really I needed to back off of Garrison, you know, and not be so emotionally involved in his life. And yes, there's balance, but really the research shows that really a son needs that connection, that deep connection with his mother as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love how God did it with, you know, a dad and a mom. We bring such different things to the table. But really, as a mom, we have an impact on our son's behavior. Boys that aren't deeply attached to their moms typically later in life end up making some pretty poor choices. We affect their academic performance. Wow. We affect anxiety or depression. And the thing that really hit me reading just up on the research is the impact we have on their emotional intelligence, which is them being able to read others' emotions and, you know, being aware of their emotions. As moms, we help them put words to what they're feeling.
Wow.
And, you know, I know I'm married to a man who, you know, does
yeah.
relatively well at that. So, but often it's difficult for men and as a dad to help their sons put words to what they're feeling. But as a mom, that comes pretty naturally to the majority of us. So I really love that, you know, think back to Garrison as a little boy. He was so aggressive, and he's so not now, but he was so aggressive between the ages of like 2 to 4. And I really didn't think the kid was going to live beyond 4. But he really, my mantra to him was, Garrison, I would hold his hand in mine and say, use your words, not your body. And I didn't realize helping him put words to what was going on. It was actually increasing the kids' emotional intelligence.
Absolutely amazing. We have to pause here and take a quick break, but I want to stay on the sons thing for a little bit, and then we'll go over and talk about daughters. But I'd love to hear from you listening today. How have you related differently to your son versus daughter? In fact, let's stick with sons, like I said. Okay, so if you're mom or dad, how is your relationship with your son? What have you learned about how important it is to relate to sons? 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Chime into the conversation. I want to know what you've learned. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. That song. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. And usually we talk marriage, we talk family, but today we're talking about the difference between how we parent our sons, how we parent our daughters. How do moms show up when they parent their sons? How do dads relate differently to sons than moms do, and daughters as well? We're going to talk daughters in just a little bit. But Aaron, you started to say something so interesting about that kind of myth of the mama's boy. To, you know, sometimes we overcompensate by backing off from our sons because we don't want them to be sissies and that kind of a thing. And even that's kind of a derogatory kind of stereotype that you see sometimes on some of these rough and tumble shows. But you're saying research actually proves that when we're engaged with our kids and invested in them in a healthy way, actually they become better articulating their thoughts and their feelings and have a higher emotional intelligence. Take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, truly, that mama's boy thing, just it bothers me because really the research is the exact opposite. Yes, as a mom, I need to support Garrison and being independent and, you know, in the that he has what it takes and letting him take those challenges when when he's faced with them and not overcompensating. But the truth is that there's a balance that I bring in the relationship. You know, Greg is wrestling with him. Well, he needs hugs from me. He needs to know that's how you treat a woman, that you don't, you know, I don't necessarily like to be taken out at the knees, you know, by my son, which he easily could do in this day and age. Mm-hmm. You know, something that's funny is that at the end of every basketball season with Garrison, with his whole team, they play parent-kid basketball. And it has been the greatest way to connect with that kid because I played high school basketball. I went out for the team in college, and I still love to play basketball. And
so you can hoop it up.
Susie. I bet you can.
Susie, like you, I'm quite competitive. And so it's fun that, you know, Greg and I will get out there with, 10 other parents, and it's just a great way to connect with him. But he still, even on that court, treats me differently than he treats his dad.
As he should, right?
And yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I feel like that is a lesson that we can give them. But in the same breath, I still need to be willing to step out of my comfort zone because I'm different than Garrison. I'm different in how I communicate. I'm different in what he's experiencing. I'd never experienced those things. And so it's important, though, for me to be willing to step out and, you know, do get down and dirty with, you know, playing with him. Mm-hmm. You know, we climbed Pike's Peak together last summer, and it was awesome. And the kid, I think I've said this on the show before, he waited for me at the top.
That's right.
To summit because he knew that's what a man did.
Amen.
He knew that he should support me in coming up and over the ledge. I love that.
You know, Greg, that's so fantastic, Aaron. I was thinking when the boys, all three boys, finally had their license, Kev said to them in my presence, he said, okay, sons, you've all got your license. As long as you live under this roof, mom should never have to pump her own gas again. And they all stood up a little. They loved that. I mean, something was called out of them in that. And, you know, none of them, you know, slunched over and, you know, they all just stood up a little straighter. Like, he called greatness out of them. And maybe speak to that whole idea, because guys have to know that they can make it, don't they?
They really do. I mean, I think one of the core things that a teen boy needs when he leaves our home is he needs to know that he has what it takes to be successful. I mean, that is a core need, very different than daughters. I think I love that quote that says that a father should be his daughter's first love and his son's first hero. And I think that my girls need to know that they are deeply, deeply loved, valued, pursued by me. But Garrison needs to know that I love, you know, you think about, what's the verse? In Matthew 3:17, where it says, a voice from the heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And just think about it. I mean, that's God. You have to go, why would God do that? I mean, why would he take the time to do that to his son? And I'm telling you that our sons need to know that their daddy is well pleased, and thus that they have that confidence. They need a humble confidence, but they need a confidence to know that they have what it takes to be successful. And that's why, for, you know, a lot of what Garrison and I will do together, like I teach him all these things. You know, here's how you shovel, you know, the driveway correctly. Mm-hmm. Here's mm-hmm. how you do this. Here's how you do that. And it's not that we don't teach our daughters that. We need to. I mean, I've taught my girls how to change a tire and those kinds of things. But I'm telling you that boy of yours needs to know that he has what it takes. And I will challenge his sisters, like especially Murphy, and I will tell her, take the time to tell your brother, look him in the eyes and says, you know what, Kirsten, you are adequate enough. You are good enough. You measure up. You have what it takes. I mean, to say that, speak that into
from a sister, no less, really.
Yeah. I mean, he needs that message and to have that confidence. And I think that makes all the difference. Susie, I love what you and Aaron were talking about, because I think also another very unique thing that a dad needs to do for a son is to teach him how to treat the women in his life. And so, you know, I have Aaron and three daughters, and I am constantly saying to that boy, okay, now hold on, let's think about this. Is that how you treat your mom? Was that honoring to her? Were you valuing your sister right now? What you said right there, do you think she walked away feeling valued? Because what I've tried to do is to say, listen, your sisters need to know that they're valuable, that they're loved. Is that the message? I mean, I will get in his face and say, son, that will never be a way that you treat my wife ever again. I mean, awesome. I'll get right into his eyes and say, do you understand? I love you, boy, but you're messing with my wife right there.
Wow.
Because I think I think that every teen boy is going to go through a season to where he's really going to test the limits as he gets stronger and bigger with his mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell Aaron, you cannot lose. When Garrison is pushing back on you, if there's a power struggle, you win. And I think there comes a point in time where a dad has to take on the role of wingman for his wife, for the mother of his son, in to where I'm right there, I'm a presence, but I'm going to let Aaron set boundaries. And if it crosses a line, then I'll step in. But I think that our boys will learn how to treat their wife and daughters by watching how we treat our wife and daughters.
Indeed. Remember one day Jake came home from middle school. Hey, mama. And he flipped me up over his shoulder. And I'm like, what are you doing? He said, just showing you that I can. And he put me back down. I'm like, okay, I think I already knew that.
Got that.
Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. When we return, we're going to talk about how to show up and parent daughters, which I know nothing about. So I'm excited to learn from the Smalleys. And I'd love to have your questions, your calls, 877-933-2484. More with the Smalleys when we come back. Music there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live with Promise. Talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. We get them on about 2 to 3 times a month. Today, we're taking a little bit of a turn. We usually really hang around marriage a lot, which is so good, so important. But we're talking about an interesting topic, how dads parent their sons versus how moms parent their sons. We spent the whole first hour, half hour talking about that. And we, as we were talking during the break, just scratched the surface of this topic. There's so much content. We're going to revisit. But now we're going to spend the second half hour talking about how both parents show up to parent daughters. daughters. And I was saying, you know, having three sons, and I am a bit of a tomboy. I told Kev, maybe God didn't give us daughters because we would have made him cry.
Girls don't cry.
I wanted a girl so bad, but I'm like, maybe I would have wrecked her. But anyway, so talk about what it's like, Aaron, to parent three daughters and one son. We talked about the son part. Talk about what it's like as a woman, as a mama, to parent these three growing girls who've got all of their complex emotions tying up together.
Yes, they're definitely different stages of that journey. Hmm. And, you know, it really has taught me, it's grown me so much parenting these daughters, because they push me in ways that literally I can't even explain. And I can talk to any mom of daughters. As a matter of fact, today I had lunch with two girlfriends. One has both have three daughters. One has one son. But, you know, the crazy thing is our daughters are watching us as moms. They're looking to us for what they need. They're imitating us, both our weaknesses and our strengths. And so that's why it's so, I have felt such a calling to make sure that I'm aware of what my weaknesses are and continually be working on those, because I don't want to see these things repeated in my daughters' lives. Mm-hmm. And some of them I have seen repeated. You know, our oldest daughter is 21, and, you know, watching her, the crazy thing is she's walking a road that's so similar to mine. She's, you know, I graduated from college as a nurse. She graduated from college as a nurse. She's working now night shift as a postpartum, a women's healthcare nurse. That's exactly what I did.
Wow.
And it's so fun to see her thriving in it. But yet I know that something that she needs from me and that all three of them need from me, they need to know that I'm stable, that because of my faith, and that they know that I'm attached to the most stable of stable, mm-hmm. and in my faith, that they can explore and move out and go to college and spread their wings. And as a mom, I'm going to be okay, that I want
That's
them for
so
that.
Good.
Yes, I miss Taylor so much. And even talking about this, thinking of Murphy going to college next year, I mean, I could break into a sob thinking about it.
Why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
But it really, don't bring it up.
I know. Yeah. But in the same breath, there's something so satisfying of knowing that they're spreading their wings and going to do what God created them to do.
Aaron, you're giving them such a gift. I've just working with young women over the years and met a few who've had an unstable mom, who the mom put it on the daughter to be their stability because they were all over the place. That messed with them in a way that it's hard to even get around. And so the gift that you, because we as women are all over the map at times. So for them to have the freedom to find out who they are while you're anchored to Christ, I mean, and you have to fight for that, because we have to fight for that. We're going to take a quick call and then we're going to continue on if that's okay. 877-933-2484. Lois is calling from Lake Nabagamo. I get it wrong every time. I psych myself out. I say it when I'm at home, fine, but I get on the air and I trip over myself. Hey, Lois, how are you?
I'm good. I appreciate the topic you're talking on today. I am a mom and wife. I have three daughters and one son. In that order, the son is the youngest. Mm-hmm. And raising them, we homeschooled as well. I didn't see a lot of difference in raising them, mainly because my husband would be active with my boy and my girl. And, you know, I would share in my part, but I'm a tomboy at heart as well. So we just kind of all had fun. But the one thing that was really good was my husband and I made sure we were on the same page with discipline and boundaries. And like you said, you know, having the son being respectful of me and other women, and same with the girls, being respectful of their dad and other men and boys as well.
Wow. Well, thank you, Lois, for chiming in. Aaron, did you want to say anything to Lois?
Yes, I agree so much that respect starts at home. And it is so important that, and it's interesting because it's both mom and dad teaching respect.
Yeah.
You know, respect your father, but then also, you know, the dad saying respect your mother and respect each other. And it's something that we can empower our kids with, that when they step outside our home, it translates into respecting authority and respecting others. And so it's such a gift we can give them in our own home.
Yeah, and if they don't learn it there, how are they going to learn it out there?
Right.
Greg, I have a question for you as a man. Is it more instinctive to father a son or to father a daughter? Because, I mean, I think it's built in a man to nurture and protect a woman. But or do you feel more awkward and clunky as you're trying to learn to nurture your own daughter? I mean, is that a whole different, you know, animal, so to speak? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think maybe the difference that I've noticed is that I have certain things that are easier for me to default to. Like with Garrison, it's very easy for me to default to the rough play, to the throwing the football, to doing these activities. I mean, men define intimacy as doing things. Versus I've really had to learn, how do I sit down and really listen to the emotions and to the heart of my daughters. And that I can do that, and Aaron has taught me over the years how to do that. But there's certain things being a man that I'm going to default to. So that's easier. My 8-year-old daughter last night wrote me a card and put it next
when
to my...
When she was supposed to be in bed.
Right. Yeah.
We'll let that pass.
Well, the card was her saying that I'm very sad because you've been playing with Garrison more and watching movies that Garrison likes and not me. And she drew a picture of a TV in the movie Turbo. and her whole point was that you're doing all this stuff with Garrison because that's easy and it's simple and you default to that, versus what would be meaningful to me is to sit down and watch this movie. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched The Sound of Music with my daughters and I almost want to rip my ears off if I have to hear those songs one more time. If I have to sing one more, let it go, you know? But that's so that's I think the big difference for me. But I tell you what, one of the things that Lois made mention of that I think is critical for a mom, and I loved what she was saying, is that I think there are ways that sometimes that moms can really invalidate their sons because of that desire for that rough play. I mean, see, rough play for a boy is where they learn to test themselves. They're taking risks. They're testing their strength. They're building that confidence. There is so much positive benefit to why that's so important. And it's easy for a lot of moms to go
overprotect,
because that's not their thing. Just as much as I don't want to listen to the sound of music one more time.
Or not even allow the husband to do that. You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
I've heard young kids say, I was never allowed to play sports. My mom didn't want me to get hurt. And to me, that's disarming the boy, isn't it?
Well, what it does is it invalidates such a deep need of his, and the way that he's working out and learning some of these things. It's going to be different from the way that a girl would do it, thus the way the mom did it. And that's why, especially for single moms, You got to toss your kid around, your boy around. You got to get in there and do the rough play. It really is how he learns so many important things.
Because
you're going to default to the emotional
stuff. The thing that's comfortable.
Which is awesome.
Yes,
That's the strength you're bringing.
Exactly. One Mother's Day, Kev got me a trampoline. And you can imagine.
Oh, boy.
Although we talked about that before. Let's keep moving.
Yes, we did.
But anyway, there was one time when JoJo, our youngest, I was driving him to football. And he's so sweet, but he's pretty athletic. And he's like, Mom, is it okay if I want to slam into people and ram them down without meaning anything bad by it? And I'm like, oh, that's why we're going to football.
Yep.
That's right. It's important. So it would be easy as a dad of daughters to send a very invalidating message missing her heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If I'm blowing through, like last night with Annie, and I saw that, and it was easy for me to then jump into problem solving. Okay, let's look at the calendar. When can we do that? But I just got down and I took her, put her in my lap, and I said, you know what? Thank you for sharing your heart. I can tell you're hurting, and that's been hurtful. And thanks for sharing that. Let's figure this out. I mean, that's not natural. I want to problem solve.
Yeah.
And that's the opportunity, though, is I think remember that a father should be a daughter's first love. And I think that what's critical for dads to do is you have to capture her heart. She needs to know that she's the most valuable thing to you. A daughter needs to know that she's precious. She needs to feel protected. She needs to feel pursued. And I think as we do those things, that all translates into you're incredibly valuable. I think the model for a dad should be Exodus 19:5, which is usually not the place we turn to for good advice on relationships, but it says that for you are my treasured possession.
Wow.
I tell you what, as a dad, if my daughters leave my house and believe with all their heart that they are daddy's treasured possession, I'm telling you, that's the difference between that boy needs to know he has what it takes, and that girl needs to know that she is a treasured possession.
That is fantastic. So what I hear you both saying is on the side of the mom towards the son, our temptation may be to overprotect and insulate and even demand that the husband shows up in that relationship that way, and that would be disarming to the son and disabling to him. But on the flip side, the tendency for the dad maybe would be to do the buttercup or to jump in and fix it versus to enter in and emotionally. But here again, isn't it amazing how God wired us such that it requires humility and love for this to work, for us to thrive, you know?
It does.
Absolutely, and how beautifully together we can parent these kids and ultimately give them what they need, however, directing them to the Lord who can go with them as they exit our home.
And I think it's clearly that there are some amazing strengths that a dad is going to bring in, helping the kids to take more risks and doing the rough and tumble play, the protecting, I mean, all that, teaching the hard work. I mean, not that a mom isn't going to do those things. And then that mom, the strengths that she's bringing in emotionally, relationally. But what I found, though, one of the most disturbing moments in my life as a dad was when I finally realized that when my kids were injured when they were real little, hurting in some way, scraped them, whatever, that they would seek out mom. They would bypass me. Mm-hmm. Where's mom? Do you see mom? I got to go to mom. And I began to really notice the difference between how Aaron would handle their pain versus how I would handle it. I'd lecture and say, well, yeah, if you run next to the wall, you're probably going to, you know. And it's not that she wouldn't ultimately teach. What she was doing so beautifully was just the bring them up into the lap, just hold them. This is the truth. I was so bothered that they would bypass me to get to her that I really set out on a personal quest going, at some point, I want them, whichever parent is closest for them to come to. I never will forget the day that one of them got hurt, and I'd worked so hard. It just comforting and caring, and then, you know, teaching. But I think that's true for us now. So I say all that to go that we have our definite strengths, and let's keep doing those well. But we also, I needed to learn, how do I handle a heart? Aaron's had to learn, how do I do the rough and tumble play?
And in a way that fits who you are, too. And, you know, when we come, I was just even surprised, Aaron, by the insight about one of the most important things is to offer stability. But that makes so much sense. When we come back, let's spend the remainder of the segment about talking daughters. And, Aaron, if there's more advice you have for a mom of young daughters, what are some other must-dos and maybe even wish you wouldn't have done or something you learned the hard way? Let's talk about that. And, Greg, the same as far as parenting these dear girls of yours. Just a little bit of time left with Dr. Greg and Aaron. If you've got a question, we've got a few minutes to take your call, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. Have them on a few times a month. I always have such fun with them, but really such encouraging, empowering conversation. Today we've been tackling how do moms and dads show up differently in the way that they relate to their sons and daughters. We just have a few minutes left, and we're talking how to show up and connect with daughters. And Aaron, I wanted you to spend the next few minutes talking about not only offering stability to your daughters, but I would love to know even around boundaries, because girls can get so emotional that they can run over their parents, I would imagine. I want to take this call from Shelley because I think she's got a question for you first, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Shelley, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much. Very quickly, I've got an only child, a daughter, who is attending her first year of college and living at home. She's going to transfer to a four-year after she's done with her first 2 years. But we're struggling with the boundaries of her being 18, and she's got a vehicle, she's got a job, and she's very busy. And I still think that she needs to be somewhat responsible for helping around the house and doing stuff. And she thinks she just is going to be gone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
tricky stage of life.
What the perfect balance is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I'll tell you that I said to my boys, as long as I'm still paying for stuff, I get to say stuff. But anyway, go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I think the key is there has to be balance.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, like you're saying, that our job as parents is to raise our kids and to release them. And that's a great thing. But there has to be balance. I mean, it can't be. And we've dealt with this with our daughter, Murphy, who's 18. That honey, that we're not going to provide certain things if you're not going to contribute. And there has to be, because our daughters absolutely have to learn hard work, and that you don't get things for free in the real world, and that you've got to contribute. We always joke, and it's we tell our kids, listen, it takes a village to raise the Smalleys. In other words, it's just a team effort. I mean, there's a lot going on, like all of us do. Mm-hmm. And she's got her part, and you absolutely hold her accountable to that. There is no place in life that you can get all this stuff and cars and, you know, without doing something for those. And that's why that has to be consistent with our kids as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it is so important to set the limits, set the boundaries. But in that, it's so important to communicate to her that, you know, how proud you are, how, you know, she needs to know that she's accepted, and that you're encouraging her to spread her wings and to step out, because it could be interpreted, you want me home all the time, you know. But the balance, like Greg is saying, is the key to her stepping out and being confident enough to do that, because they step off when it's a stable platform and they're stepping outside the home. You know, that gives them a good launching pad versus a platform that's rocking back and forth. It makes it difficult then for them to step out confidently.
That's good. And you can sure see where you'd feel like you want to walk this so carefully, because you don't want to alienate them, but you also don't want to, enable them. You know what I mean?
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but go ahead, Aaron, talk about this. You know, I'm just so curious, because you're talking about providing stability. How do you also provide some boundaries where you want to give them room to have some of their emotional meltdowns, but to have limits? And I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm just throwing the question out there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I would imagine that you have to put a boundary around that, too, to say,
absolutely,
hey, there's a limit to what you can say to me. I don't care if it's that time of the month or not.
Yes, absolutely. And there's different seasons that are more challenging with that. And again, personality is going to come out. Our second daughter, Murphy, love her dearly. She went through just some really hard years to where there was a lot of words that were spoken kindly. And I used to get in, at the beginning of all of it, I would get engaged with it and be sucked into it, where I realized soon that the best thing I could do to her is say, I will talk to you when your voice is equal to mine. And
excellent.
I would walk away. And I learned to lock my bedroom door. I would put myself in a timeout. Hmm. And, you know, and it just
with
protected.
Me.
You love that. You
it
purposely
protected.
Provoked Murphy so you
exactly.
could get quiet time.
Is that what was going on?
Yeah.
It protected our relationship from unnecessary stuff. And, you know, I always spoke to her, though, that I believed in her. And I would always say, I know we're going to get through this. You are going to be a wonderful young woman. And we have gotten to the other side of it. And she is this beautiful, loving, godly,
strong girl.
Strong.
In the best way,
woman.
I mean. She's going to do great things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But she needed to know that I accepted her, whether her behavior was, you know, poor or role model. It was that she knew that there was going to be consequences, but that I loved her, that I saw the best in her, and that we were going to see it to the other side. I wasn't going to leave her. And my mantra was, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And, you know, Lord, you'll never do that to me. I'm not going to do that to my kids. And I have loved you with an everlasting love. I would repeat those in my mind over and over and over again during those difficult days. and seasons. And you know what? We got through them. And there's still moments. You know, everyone has meltdowns. I have meltdowns. But it's just important for them to know they can.
It's a safe place.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and through those moments, yeah, I think as a dad, our daughters need to know that we will constantly pursue them. Doesn't matter what they do. And we've had bad run-ins, Murph and I have. And yet I've handled it poorly at times, but ultimately though, that I want her to always know that I will never stop pursuing you. Because again, I think that as much as our boys need to know they have what it takes to be successful, our daughters need to know that they are so valued. When I was a young father of our first daughter, I love this older dad said to me, he said, "The first compliment your daughter receives today should never, ever come from another male." He goes, "That is your right. That is your job. That's your privilege." And I've really taken that to heart. And again, that's those kind of things that our daughters need to know. I love Psalms 45:11, where it says, "The king is enthralled by your beauty." That our daughters need to know that we're enthralled by them, that we're captivated, that we see their value inside and out. We see their beauty inside and out, and we pursue them. I love, you know, Annie, Aaron got Annie, our 8-year-old, a new bathrobe. And so she, of course, comes right
frozen,
to me
by
to
the way.
Yeah, that's right. Blasted. I knew I hated it for some reason. But she came to me and, you know, does her little twirl and to model this and just to get down right at her level and say, "You are so beautiful. I love the way you look." I mean, that's
so
what they
precious.
Need from us. Because I tell you what, if they don't hear that from us, that first boy. And they will come along.
And win their heart, whether he's a loser or not.
They will say that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they will. And if that wound is there, if that empty hole in their heart, because I haven't been providing that, they will be so drawn to that. I want my daughters to hear compliments from other boys and kind of roll their eyes and go,
"That ain't nothing.
You know, that is nothing." Let me tell
that
you, 800
got?
That I've heard from. Yeah.
But I
think that's the opportunity that we have as dads, is that our daughters – we should be their first love.
So wonderful. As I'm listening to you both talk, I'm reminded of when Shanti Feldhahn talks about, she said, done extensive research that women, we need to know that we're loved. But men, if they were given the choice of feeling loved or feeling competent, they would choose competency anytime from their
totally.
Wives. If we're either saying, "Oh, I love you, I love you," but we're nagging them, constantly diminishing, correcting them, nagging them, and communicating a message of incompetence, that is the worst thing. So you can sure imagine in showing up parenting our kids, our daughters need to know they're loved. Our boys need to know, of course, that they're loved, but they're competent.
Absolutely.
And if we can show up that way, what men and women we can raise up. Well, this has been fantastic. And I'm wondering, as we wrap up, to pray. Aaron, if you wouldn't mind, just pray for the parents listening today, that we would not approach this as a one-size-fits-all, but we really be sensitive to the needs of our kids before us.
Lord, we come before you, Jesus, and just lift all the parents that are listening up to you, Lord. And I just ask, Lord, that you infuse them with insights, awarenesses of who their children are. Lord, assure them that they, as parents, have what it takes to parent these children, because there are days that are challenging. Lord, just give them encouragement, hope, peace amidst the challenges, Lord, and just help them to just equip them with everything they need to guide and lead these children towards you, Lord. We thank you and love you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Love you both so much. Thank you for your time today.
You're welcome. We
Thank
love this.
Thank you, Susie.
This is so much fun.
I feel like we scratched the surface on this topic, so we just might attack it again in a couple of weeks when they come back. Hope you've been encouraged today. listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. There's some great articles up there that might just encourage you. So spend a few minutes there. You'll leave stronger and wiser. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.